Hi, and welcome to today's meeting of Book Hoarders Anonymous. Let's all begin by introducing ourselves.
Hi, I'm Shannon, and I'm a book hoarder.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, I'm Erin, and I'm a book hoarder.
Hi, Erin.
Hello, and welcome to Book Hoarders, episode, what are we on now? 34?
35?
35. Ooh. Yeah, because last episode it was your age, wasn't it?
No, then that makes it 34.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Okay. 34 or 35. I'm Erin.
I'm Shannon.
And as you can all hear, my brain has totally deserted me, and I have lost count of everything.
But that being said, Erin is now a fully licensed lawyer, so she can go yell objection.
Absolutely.
Anytime she wants.
Go yell objection anytime I want, even though I can't seem to count. That should scare people. I know it scares me.
So I fully expect that sometime during this episode she'll say something that I disagree with. I'll say something she disagrees with, and she can just be like, objection!
I object. we can't all agree on everything. But sometimes we like to pretend that agreement is feasible and possible. differing opinions, that's what makes the world go round. And that's actually what makes law go round, scary enough. So with that being said, got my license just last week. It was very wonderful. And this week I get sworn in as a member of the North Carolina Bar. Yes, I have to take an oath. Ooh, scary stuff. So help me God. Anyway. We are here to do this podcast and to talk about the book we read this month, a collection of mystery stories called The Best of Sisters in Crime, edited by Marilyn Wallace. But before we do that, let us discuss our listener mail, because we actually have some. Woohoo! Christina C.,
We love you, Christina.
Absolutely. Has written us before, and she's written us again, saying that she liked the book we read because there were many authors that she had never read before. And I feel the same way, but we'll talk about that more when we get to the book. And secondly, that she wanted to recommend to us a book that I have never read. And we may read it in the future, but it is not our Halloween pick this time. We'll get to that likewise in a minute. The book that she recommends is, what was it called again?
Uprooted by Naomi Novik.
Yeah, by Naomi Novik. And I have only read books in her Temeraire cycle. And so is this book about dragons? Because you've read it before.
It is not really about dragons. There's a character that calls himself the dragon, but he's not.
Oh, okay.
I did read it. Actually, it was one of the ones I was going to talk about when we got to that section. But so, Christina, I think that's a really great book. I got it on Bard because they just use the Audible narration. And
is it Simon Vance?
It's on Bard.
No, is it Simon Vance? Is he doing it?
It's not Simon Vance.
Oh,
it's
man.
Some chick because it's not. It's a different series altogether.
That's true.
You know, it's set in kind of a, like, fantasy Poland.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, actually, I don't know, this is sort of a tangent, but I kind of found the narration a little bit, I didn't like it so much, because it was very, I wasn't entirely convinced that that was her real accent, and it distracted me the entire time, because I'm like, oh, you're doing a Polish accent, and sometimes I can sometimes slip into an American accent.
I hate it when people put on accents like that in narration. That is really annoying.
Yes. Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel?
Oh, man. That isn't good. But yeah, but I understand.
It was a good book, and the accent thing only slightly distracted me.
Yeah. And Christina, I wanted to give Christina some advice here, because she said that she just was trying to read the Secret History by Donna Tartt, and she didn't like it at all, apologizing to the author. She says it was very boring. She tried her other book a long time ago, The Goldfinch, presumably, and she couldn't finish that either. And she's kind of upset, because she says, maybe I'm just not a Donna Tartt fan. Well, I wasn't a Donna Tartt fan either. After I finished about half The Goldfinch, hated all the characters except two of the minor ones, decided that I didn't want to finish it and it had nothing to do with the narrator at all. It was the book. If you don't like the main character, it's hard to get through a book. I got through Gone Girl somehow, even though I hated the main characters, both of them. But The Goldfinch, I just couldn't see myself reading like 43 hours with this main character that I despised. Oh. So after 21 hours, I said, uh-uh, not going to happen, and told my whole book club I hated it. Actually, everyone in our book club hated it. So, Christina, you're not alone in disliking Donna Tartt.
I had a friend who recommended The Secret History to me. She said it was the best book she'd ever read. She thought I'd really love it. Mm-hmm. So I read it, and I read the whole thing because I wanted to be like, just, you know, let my friend enable me. And mm-hmm. she was convinced that it was totally worthwhile. Mm-hmm. Like, every moment I was reading that book, I resented it. And I think that if I had just like let myself stop and, mm-hmm. you know, deleted that, well, I suppose I read it. I think back in the day it was like very early Bard, maybe not quite Bard days yet. So, mm-hmm. but I don't think I read it on cassette. I think maybe I got it from Bookshare. I don't know. Anyway, if I had just like closed the file somehow, mm-hmm. I would have been a lot happier, but I didn't. So I think it's totally fine mm-hmm. not to be a Donna Tartt fan, because you're obviously in good company. I, too, have looked at The Goldfinch and thought 43 hours. I can't mm-hmm. even read, like, I love epic fantasy, but I feel like if it's over 20 hours long, it's already starting to lose me. So I'm in the middle of a book that's like that now, and I think I'm just, like, I think I've just eventually decided to give up. Mm-hmm. What I've been doing is reading, like, a chapter a day, hoping that at some point it's going to pick up enough that I, like, have to keep going. Mm-hmm. And I like it. It's not that I don't like it, but it's a book that's I think the Audible is, like, 23 hours long, so mm-hmm. it's still pretty long. And, but it's a book that has, like, a definite tragedy that happens at its center, like, and you know, because it kind of goes back and forth between the past and the present, what mm-hmm. that is. Mm-hmm. And I find it really hard going because, like, I'm already, like, she's made me really care about these characters, and I don't want the bad things to happen to them.
Right. So let's start then. Let's actually move along and talk about the books that you have read this month or are reading.
Okay. So I did like Uprooted a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did you read it?
I recommend it.
Okay. That's good.
I read it this last month. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The other one I wanted to talk about, I've actually been having a pretty good reading month lately. I read Rachel Aaron's book, Nice Dragons Finish Last.
Aww.
Which is great. It is so good. A friend of mine recommended it, and it's kind of hard to categorize because it's part fantasy, you know, dragons, mm-hmm. but it's also got like a bit of a post-apocalyptic thing going for it. And, the premise is that the hero, he starts out the book as a bit of a slacker. He's like the youngest dragon in this entire family of dragons. And he just basically like does not want to get, like beaten up on by his many dragon siblings, so he hides out in his mom's basement, and finally she kicks him out and, you know, sends him to Detroit, which in this world is like where dragons are like if they show up, they're killed on sight, and it's where like lots of magic happens, and he ends up meeting this girl and who's a mage, and they strike up this friendship. And the thing is that the dragon in this book is aggressively nice, and he has mm-hmm. to spend the whole book being like proving to himself and everybody else that the compassionate route is actually the one to take. And it is so sweet and adorable. Aww. And I love it, and the narration is really good, and it's just like, it's so refreshing to read a book where like the romance isn't centered on like, because there's definitely like some romantic tension, but it's not the like, oh, I hate you, let's, you know, accept that we kissed.
Yeah.
Like the conflict that's keeping them apart is that he's not really used to having friends, and he doesn't want to ruin it for, like, this thing that he has with this girl. Like, she's legitimately his friend, and he doesn't want to mess that up. And I just think that's so refreshing.
That's so sweet. That is refreshing.
It is so refreshing. So, and the next one comes out, I think the next one is One Good Dragon Deserves Another.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hate these titles, but they're very cheesy.
They are.
But I think the next one, I think it's out on Kindle, but the audio comes out middle mm-hmm. of October. So I'm going to be getting that.
Oh, cool.
And then I tried a little interesting experiment. I was doing some cataloging for work, and we were trying to get all of our Gilbert Morris books in, like, all the series that they belong to.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert Morris, for those that don't know, is a writer of Christian historical fiction. And he and his daughter wrote a series called Cheney Duval, M.D., which is about a lady doctor after the Civil War, and the lady doctor has a male nurse. Look at that.
Look at that, people.
So I read the first one, which was called Stars for a Light, and I don't know why I've been having such difficulty keeping track of, like, what the titles of these books are,
mm-hmm.
but I really liked it. I was surprised by how much I liked it, because it seems like mostly my experience with Christian fiction is that when I try to read it, eventually I get really, like, I run into something like the Gene Stratton Porter book we read, where I felt like it was way too didactic and preachy
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm. I do understand, because that's
yeah.
mostly what I run into with Christian fiction, too.
And I was really shocked at how much this worked for me. There's definitely a strain of romance there's like an 8-book series, and it's, you know, there's definitely a will they or won't they thing that goes on between the lady doctor and the male nurse. I was really shocked, because there was actually a kissing scene, and I was like, did not think that happened in Christian fiction. I thought that, like, they only kissed once they, like, you know, declared that they were in love, and you know, then that was okay.
Nice.
But there was a kissing scene. But that being said, I don't think I'll go on with it, because I looked at reviews for the next book, and they were like, in the next book, the male nurse gets himself a love interest, and then something bad happens to her at the end.
Oh.
Which is why she doesn't get to be a love interest for the rest of the book. And I was just like, you know what? I don't want to, like, that is not the kind of soap opera hijinks that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't even do that. If you're going to have there be, like, I hate love triangles anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're going to, like, start it out and have this be a giant red herring, like, that you know is going to end up being a giant red herring, because, like, you know, by the end of the series, not to spoil anything for you, but I knew it because I read all the NLS annotations, and eventually at one point it says,
spoiler,
like,
alert, spoiler alert.
Like, the lady doctor accepts the male, like, wants to accept the male nurse's marriage proposal. So, obviously, like, the female love interest in book two isn't going to be around. And I'm
yeah.
just like, you know, I don't think I want to.
Yeah, it's so contrived.
I don't know if it's the kind of series you can skip around in, but I might
skip that
three.
One, just see what happens.
But yeah, so I was really shocked at how much I liked it, and there was definitely some preaching, but it actually felt very organic to the story. I felt like that was where there was preaching, it was definitely where it would have gone, and I was not left being like, okay, when can we get on to the actual plot?
Stop the sermon, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
So, yeah, Stars for a Light, maybe skip book two. I'll mm-hmm. let you know if I read book three.
Yeah, let us know.
Let's see. Right now, I'm... Oh, and then, let's see. The last one I want to talk about is I just finished reading the latest book by Jenny Lawson, who writes on for theblogist.com. And she wrote... I loved her book, Let's Pretend This Never Happened, that came out a couple of years ago. And she's got a new one out now called Furiously Happy.
Which one did you read?
So I read them both.
Mm-hmm.
Furiously Happy is the one that just came out. I bought it on Audible. It's called a funny book about the subtitle is a funny book about horrible things.
Oh, I think I bought that one too.
She talks about her mental illness, like, very candidly, and it's still very... And she talks a lot about, like, her writing, her like, the writing process she used about writing nonfiction, and it's just, like, I don't often laugh at books that are funny. Like, sometimes I chuckle. Like, this book made me laugh out loud. I was, like, guffawing at work.
That is so funny.
And like, I almost never do that. So, you know, I suppose that you have to have my sense of humor.
Maybe.
You might not like it, but I thought that it was, like, very confessional and still, like, very relatable, even, you know. And, and I love that she's, like, she talks about how she, at one point, she said that, you know, people in her family, they all get to read, like, what she's written about them and get them to and get her to change it before she publishes, which I think is really nice. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I always make sure that I'm the butt of all the jokes. And I like, and then when I know, when she said that, then I noticed it was true. Like, you know, that every time she talks about, like, all these conversations she has with her husband, and it's definitely like, you know, he's the one that's being like, why are there dead raccoons in my house?
And, you know, right.
She's the one that goes off on these, like, tangents, and, you know, so yeah, Jenny Lawson, both of her books are really good. They're both very much worth getting because she's, like, you know, sometimes when books are read by the author, it's not very good, but I think she did a fabulous job reading them both.
Oh, wonderful.
So,
okay, so the books I read this month, I tried out a new author that I haven't tried before, and the book was called The Flight of the Sparrow by Amy Belding Brown. This is a book about a woman in 1670s in Massachusetts, which was very Puritan at the time. She was the wife of a minister, and she was captured by Indians. I don't know what tribe, I don't remember. But actually, the author based the book, which is fiction, upon the diaries of Mary Rowlandson, who was captured by Native Americans, wife of a minister, in Massachusetts. And so this book is sort of like a fictionalized account of what might have happened to her. And it's not all about her living with the Indians. I mean, she gets returned to her family, and it's about how that, what impact that life, those few months of life being captured, had on her and her outlook on the world and her relationships with her children and her husband and other Indians that she came in contact with. And I use the word Indians to mean Native Americans, of course. I just didn't want to say that about 20,000 times. So Indians are shorter. In any event, I really enjoyed this book. It took me kind of a while to get into it because it's written in the present tense. And I find books like that difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all the action is present. She does this. She feels this. She goes here. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Not like most of us are used to reading things in the past tense, especially fiction. And I found this a little bit jarring just for that reason, but that's just a personal preference on my part. Once I got into the book, I couldn't put it down. I thought it was fantastic, and it's well worth the read. It is available on Bard, not sure about Bookshare or Audible. The second book I read is a horror novel that's part of a series. It was the first WhisperSync title I ever bought. So, in other words, I had the Kindle version, which I had gotten for free and never read. And then I realized, oh, I can get the WhisperSync version for like a dollar. And do I really want to do this? So that was back when before I realized how evil WhisperSync was. And I bought it. And it's called 314 and by A.R. Wise. The series is it's a series of three books, and it's like called 314 Part 1, 314 Part Book 2, 314 Book 3. So the author definitely could have used some originality in the titles of his books. But that being said, and I know it's a he, because there's an About the Author page where it actually gives his full name, and the copyright gives his full name. I just can't remember what it is right now. 314 by A.R. Wise, and I read the first book, and I know I'm definitely going to continue with the series. I think what drew me to this book, it talks a lot about chaos magic, which is sort of fun. It's definitely sort of like an urban fantasy, which I also think is fun. Basically, this scary thing happened in Widow's Field, Missouri, in 19, whatever it is, 96 or something. And it involved all the children in the town. Basically, everyone in the town either died or disappeared. And this one woman who was a child at that time is sort of like forced back there to confront whatever happened in this town and doesn't understand why it seems to be happening all over again. And it all has to do with the number 314. It happened on March 14th, whatever this thing was. And by the end of the book, we really don't know what it was. We do know that she's being drawn back there and she has people with her, friends of hers that are going with her. One of whom is her boyfriend, who's kind of like a bad boy. He's got tattoos and rides a motorcycle and stuff. So that was kind of refreshing. The thing that drew me to the books, well, to the first book anyway, was that the woman involved, who's the main character, has a very unusual name. Now, we're used to, you know, Cindy's and Jennifer's and things in books, but her name is Alma, which is the name of like my great-great aunt. And it's just really, you know, it's really unusual. So I thought, wow. Reading a book that's not, that's like written in the present day about a woman with such an old fashioned name, I thought was going to be kind of cool. And it was actually a really good book. Despite the fact that a few of the scenes are a little bit contrived, and the narrator is not the best. I am not a Vanessa Johansson fan. But it is on Audible, and available in WhisperSync if you now own the book. Another book that I read that was equally fantastic, I could not put it down, Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard, I don't know how it's pronounced, this book was wonderful. This it's kind of like a young adult, kind of like Hunger Games, but not really. The elite, you know, this is sometime in the far-flung future after the Earth has undergone tons of disaster. The elite in the, you know, human race now have silver blood. Literally. I mean, there's a difference in the blood between the elite and the regular people who just have red blood, like normal, like, you know, we have. But this girl finds out that she has, and the silver-blooded people all have, like, supernatural powers, like telekinesis and telepathy and other types of power. And this girl, whose name I forget, actually, I don't remember her name. That's really bad. But she finds out she has a power of her own in the book towards the beginning, and she uses it to make a place for herself that's better than just, you know, an expendable peasant, basically. It's a very fantastic book. I have done something I never have done before based on this book. I got it from Audible during one of their sales. And then I went on Kindle and purchased the prequel. The sequels have not been written as part of a series, but there was a prequel that she wrote that's a novella that I went and purchased because I thought the book was so fantastic. And of course I forget the name, but if you look up Victoria Aveyard, Aveyard, you will find it. And the last book I want to talk about is, the second to last book, I guess, is a book called Athena's Son by Gerard Schoenbeck. And for the life of me, it seems like I've read one of his other books before, but I can't remember what it was. However, his name just seems familiar, like I've read it before. I read this book on Kindle, and it was one of those, like, here's a reduced price book, buy it today type of thing. And it's actually, it was really good. It was about Archimedes. And we do know from various documented sources that Archimedes was educated in Alexandria after the Ptolemies came to rule Egypt. And it was about him going to Alexandria and starting on his education. And it was sort of like weaving in a murder mystery with that he had to solve. And he did. I thought it was really good. It's relatively short. You can find it on Kindle. And apparently, I don't think this is part of a series, but the author has decided to start writing historical fiction after his kids and wife told him it was time to do it. So that makes me think his other books are going to be equally good and somewhat whimsical. This book had in it very interesting sort of discussions about, you know, Archimedes and his genius, which he believed was given to him by Athena. So he had this little amulet as an owl that he always wore. It gave all of the characters personality, which I think is really good, especially in an author's first attempt at a book. Sometimes the characters are rather cardboardish, you know, like cardboard cutouts. Mm-hmm. And all the characters had personality, I thought, and they all had their flaws, which I think was excellent. And so I would read this author's books again if he ever wrote more, which it seems like I have read something else of his, but I just don't remember what it is. With all that being said, the last thing I want to mention is that I have started, I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it though, The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. That is one of those books that's 40 some odd hours long in audio. I'm not sure if I'm going to finish it because it is so terribly long, but I have started it. And I'm also picking up and rereading The Mists of Avalon for like the gajillionth time by Marion Zimmer Bradley, which is the only book of a 40-hour length that I have been able to read completely through several times. And I said I've mentioned in the beginning what that book was, and it's this book. And actually, I have read two versions, well, listened to two versions. One is the one read by Davina Porter that's available on Audible, which is fine. But I prefer the NLS version because it was the first version I ever heard, which is narrated by Jill Ferris. And despite the fact that she mispronounces some of the names, it's my favorite version, I guess, because it's what I'm used to. And so I'm looking forward to rereading that when I have time this month. I'm not sure when that will be, but at some point. Oh, okay. So let's move along and talk about the news stories this month. The first one that I found, which was very disturbing, is that a student who was reading a book on terrorism for a class on terrorism was accused of being a terrorist. Now that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This took place at Staffordshire University, and they are now apologizing after counterterrorism student Mohammed Umar Farouk was questioned under Prevent Anti-Terrorist Initiative. He was enrolled in a master's course on terrorism, crime, and global security. Terrorism. It was just entitled Terrorism, I guess. And he was reading it along with other students in the college library. He was enrolled in the Terrorism, Crime, and Global Security Master's Program. He was questioned about his attitudes to homosexuality, the Islamic State, ISIS, and Al-Qaeda. Homosexuality? How did that fit in there?
I don't understand.
Weird.
Yeah.
His replies, he says, were largely academic, but he stressed his personal opposition to extremist views. However, the conversation in the library was reported by the official to security guards because it had raised too many quote-unquote red flags. I think their people were being paranoid.
Wow, seriously.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about new books that were released in September. Basically, the one thing I want to mention is that Jonathan Franzen, his book, Freedom, which was out a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. he has released another book. And
yes.
And it looks like it's going to be really good. I don't know if it's a young adult book or not, but I don't think so. It's the title of it escapes me. It will be in the article that we put up there.
I believe it's called Purity.
Yes. It's called Purity, and it's about a woman who wonders about her past. She's raised in this, I don't know if it's like a cult group or something, but she has a very sheltered life. And she goes to South America to learn about government secrets, and she hopes to learn about her past as well. So that sounds like it could be good. And also, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the series by Stieg Larsson. There is another author who has taken over that series since Steve Stieg Larsson kind of died in the middle of writing the fourth book, or was it the third? The third, I think. The Girl in the Spider's Web is now coming out. Actually, I think it's out because Christina said that she was reading it.
Yes.
So those are the two things from that article that I wanted to mention. Additionally, in the news, the Oyster subscription platform is going out of business. I didn't even know they were in business. Apparently, they were, it's like an ebook subscription service. It's being bought out by Google and going to be integrated into Google Play somehow, or at least the employees that used to work for Oyster, some of the top executives, are going to work in the on the Google Play platform doing what? I'm not really sure. But this raises some interesting questions.
It does. I think that these, like, there have been several things that I've heard about in the news about these ebook subscription services, which is what Oyster was. There was also Scribd is also the other one that's probably a little bit more well known, and you pay like $8.95 a month or something like that, and you basically get access to you get access to these, like, whatever their catalog is, and you can have, like, you know, as long as you pay that $8.95, you can have unlimited access, and it's, you know, it's like a library, I suppose.
It's kind of like Bookshare for sighted people.
Right.
I mean, or for anybody, really, because you get access to their library of ebooks, and it's basically unlimited. You can read whatever you want. I'm not sure if the ebooks are put out in a protected format, though. I don't know about that.
I think they must be because I believe it's something you have on your device.
Ah.
I do have some questions. Like, I know that, like, one of the things that I like, Scribd is the one that I'd heard about. I knew about Oyster, but it didn't seem like it was, like, particularly popular.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'd heard about Scribd is that they cut a lot of their romance catalog because, like, basically romance readers were just reading too much.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, you know, it works out, like, the service works out pretty well if you are a, like, not that much of a reader, but you know, if you're a power reader and you read, like, a bunch of books a month, eventually like, they're losing, like, that service is losing money.
Absolutely.
Because they have to pay power the authors, reader, you know, the royalties for it. So, you know, I've read a few articles about, mm-hmm, like, you know, how they can, what can they do to make subscription services, like, actually palatable for authors, mm-hmm, so that everybody gets their money, and including, like, the subscription service. And I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that I have never gotten a satisfying answer to the question, is this accessible or not?
Yeah.
I heard somewhere that Scribd had been sued by, like, the NFB, who sues everybody.
Don't get me started.
And that the ruling was in the favor of, like, whatever the blind person who sued them was, but I don't have, I don't remember, like, whether I heard that from, I feel like I heard that from a real person and not necessarily a news source. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much credence to give that, but it is interesting. Like, that one of these companies now is closing and they clearly, that business model did not work out.
Yeah. And Scribd seems to be the only subscription service that I know of that's still operating.
Yeah. And even they, like, you know, they cut the romance catalog. They used to have audiobooks, but now it's like you get one credit a month, and then if you want more than that, you have to, like, buy additional credits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously not good for you if you're a power audiobook listener either.
Right. I still think that for audio, Amazon's WhisperSync just can't be beat.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I say it's evil, but I mean evil in a good way. And I'm constantly, like, calculating the price of, well, if I buy these books on Kindle and then add the WhisperSync, is it going to be less than a credit?
Right.
And I have purchased so many audiobooks that way that I haven't even listened to yet. But I know I'm going to listen to them at some point. buying them and the Kindle version, it was like less than a credit for both. So why not buy both? You know,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think it works. It works the best. I think that if you're a power reader, like a lot of us, services like eReader IQ, which is the one that I use, that go out mm-hmm. and basically find good books for you in the categories that you like that are either free or on sale, are really good. And probably what will win out over the subscription services as well.
Oh, I think so.
Because they look through, you know, like the entire catalog, of Amazon and Kindle, and they pick things that they think you will like. And you don't have to basically fall prey to these services who say, oh, let's just cut a whole bunch of our our options and make them unavailable for people. You know, let's just cut out a lot of our books that we used to offer. Now we won't offer them anymore. And I am too lazy to go comb like Kindle's entire free and bargain book section.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's enormous. And, you know, it's always there every day. The offerings always change. And I have gotten so many, most of my Kindle purchases, except for a few, I can probably count on two hands the number of Kindle books I have bought for regular price.
Yeah.
And I have about 700 Kindle books, most right. of which I haven't read yet. Some of which are probably yeah. horrible. But, you know, I still think that those models
absolutely.
Are going to win out over the subscription services. And I will say, I was very tempted by Scribd when it offered like all the audiobooks you could possibly listen to from their catalog for a month. I did find that really tempting. And then I thought about it and I was kind of like, what if it's not accessible? You know, what
yeah.
if the app is not accessible?
And that's the thing. Like, I don't want to pay $8 a month
right.
to find out that it's not going to work mm-hmm. for me.
And that's why I was so thrilled when the Kindle app came out and the Audible, you know, Audible app became better.
Yeah.
More voiceover friendly. And so we do know those services work. And I think in the long run, those services, the WhisperSync and the Kindle are gonna win out. Those models, anyway, are gonna win out. So after all of our preaching, and I admit we're probably preaching to the choir because all of y'all probably have similar views, but I want to talk about our homework for the month. Unless you have any other news that needs to be discussed.
Nope, I think that's good.
Okay,
let's talk about our homework.
Our homework is a book that I'm really excited about because I have read this before, and we wanted to pick a book that was written by a woman that was a horror novel, because the last couple of years we've read horror novels and they were by men. So I thought for the Halloween it would be great to pick a book by a woman, and Shannon agreed. And great minds thought alike, because we thought about the same book. Even without talking to one another, we had kind of like already picked this book. So, woohoo! Yay to the telepathy. This is a book called The House Next Door by Anne Rivers Siddons, who some of her books do have kind of a creepy element to them. Basically, haunted houses, and that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, who doesn't love haunted
who
houses?
Who doesn't love haunted houses? I thought it was a great book when I read it, and it was one of those things that I just sort of like found on Bard and randomly chose. It reminded me of the level 7 reading book that I had, which was called, when I was in like second grade or whatever, which was called The Dog Next Door. So The House Next Door, The Dog Next Door, sort of the same next door type stuff. The dog was not a ghost dog or anything. It was just what the book was called. But it reminded me of that kind of in a whimsical way. And so I picked it and read it, not expecting a haunted house, because I don't think I really looked at the annotation. I just thought, oh, cool title. I'll download the book. And you know, I did and read it and really enjoyed it. So I hope all of y'all enjoy it too.
And we should talk about the book we read this time.
And everyone's probably going, you should have done that already. And they're right.
That's what happens when you become a lawyer. Your mind just goes.
Your mind just wanders off. So let's talk about that. We read The Best of Sisters in Crime by Marilyn Wallace. This was available on Bard. Apparently, there are a bunch of Sisters in Crime books. I didn't know about this, but and in which Marilyn Wallace picks short stories edited by women who have written thrillers and historical novels that we may know about and puts them together. I've never read most of these authors, so I was very thrilled to come across authors that I have never heard of before, or authors that I've heard of and just have been too lazy to read, such as Joyce Carol Oates. Some of the stories I thought were sort of boring.
Yeah,
a couple of them I thought were really boring. And a couple I thought were really haunting. The one that comes to mind is the story by Joyce Carol Oates that I can't remember the name of.
Circumstances, right?
Extenuating Circumstances.
Extenuating Circumstances.
Yeah, and I was just, I was so haunted by that. After I read it, I
Yeah.
had to like stop and go, wow. And then there were a couple, like A Tale of Two Pretties, that I can't remember who the author was. It was basically a takeoff on A Tale of Two Cities that I was like, oh my God, could this please get over with soon?
Oh, that one just does not have any. I don't even remember that one.
It was like Cindy Carson and I don't know, some other woman changed places.
Oh, yeah,
so that she wouldn't
that
have
one.
To go to prison.
That one.
So she took over Cindy's like really crappy apartment, and Cindy took her place in jail because they looked sort of alike. Charlotte Durning or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's right.
I
that's
was like,
right.
Oh God, please get this over with.
And then it was like, you know, yeah, one of the things that I like, there were a lot that I did like, but there were a couple like that one. And mm-hmm. there were a couple of others that had like these endings that were just like gotchas.
Yeah, I know. And I don't like stories like that. I hate that.
I like, you know, also some of them were definitely more horror than mystery, which kind of surprised me. I mm-hmm. didn't mind so much, but you know, a lot of times I didn't really actually feel like I had solved a mystery. I felt like, like, for example, that one, the
Extenuating Circumstances?
The Tale of Two Pretties.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Like, that was sort of, like, it had the kind of ending that like, it just felt very, like, gotcha. Like, she was trying to write some, like, noir fiction and didn't quite get there. And I felt that way about the, like, the Mary Higgins Clark one, too, about the Colbin.
Oh, yeah. I think I sort of zoned out in that one, because I'm really not a fan of hers. I tried to be, because my best friend in high school loved Mary Higgins Clark, and she tried to make me read her, too, and I'm just like, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I've never been a fan. But, yeah, I do remember now that you mention it about the Colbin. There were some authors, like I said, that I definitely really enjoyed their stories. The Sue Grafton one, it was sort of okay. But you could tell that some of these people are definitely more comfortable writing novels and books rather than stories. Because some of the stories, it just felt like there were things left out of them.
Yeah. And I really the Sue Grafton one was just sort of like I think that one, like the what sticks out in my head about that one was that they're like that the character that she was her client, I think she spent a lot of the time being really judgy about the lady's weight.
Yeah, that was stupid. I was like, why is that even in there?
and there were a couple of them that like the Diane Mott Davidson one, I felt like I was glad I read it because now I really feel like that is not for me.
Is that the one with the body in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little too cutesy. Like, you know, like, oh, I shouldn't go have dessert. And we like spent so much time like about her food.
Man, I was so hungry at the end of that story.
I was hungry, but I was just like, I just don't like stuff like that. I feel like it's a little gimmicky for me, and maybe if I, and I wasn't, you know, it's like, clearly this is the star of a book series I haven't read, and so I think I'm supposed to find this charming, and I just kind of want them all to stop talking.
I really like the Joanne Fluke books, which are similar to that. I mean, they have, like, Hannah Swenson she's a baker, and she has her bakery, and she makes cookies and brownies, and all the books are titled, like, The Chocolate Chip Cookie Murder, and the, I don't know, Blueberry Muffin Murder, and the Whatever Something Murder.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. I can't figure out why I didn't like that story, because there are occasions when I want that kind of gimmicky, cutesy stuff, but this story just didn't sit well with me. I think it was just, Maybe it was the mood I was in.
There are some times
when I read those kinds of things, but I have to be in the right mood. I have to really want to read something that's cutesy and fluffy like that before I really like it. Because I think at this point, when I read this story, I was like, hurry up and finish already.
Now, I did like, even though it had kind of a gotcha ending, I didn't feel like it was a gotcha ending. I really liked the Sarah Shankman one about the two southern ladies.
Oh,
and their feud.
That was very, that kind of gave me a chill.
And yeah. Blanche. Yeah.
Yeah, that gave me chills.
I did like that one because it was like, I felt like when I was reading that one that it ended the only way it could possibly end.
Mm-hmm.
Given what the characters were like, so that one really worked for me. And I also really liked the Sarah Paretsky one. Made me want to go read some V.I. Warshawski.
Yeah, I liked that one too. I'd like to be her.
Yeah. I mean, it was very nice. I didn't feel like V.I. Warshawski was nearly as judgy as Kinsey Millhone was, because I don't remember there being nearly enough like stuff about somebody's weight.
That said, I don't think that going back to the Sue Grafton one, I think that it felt to me like she was trying to cram it down our throats a little bit. Because,
yeah.
I mean, in the Kinsey Millhone books, I liked her better than in the story. And I think it was because, like, Sue Grafton was trying to give us a little too much Kinsey a little too fast.
Right.
If that makes any sense. But, yeah, I liked the Sarah Paretsky one, too. I don't know anything about the character. I mean, I don't know anything about the series, but I did enjoy that one. And there were none of them that made me feel, because I'm usually pretty skeptical when there's a series involved. There are none of them that made me feel like I really had to read the series first before I read the story. And I was worried that was going to happen. But I do think that all of the authors did a very good job in taking the stories, like making the stories and the series that they're writing about mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was, it was probably something that the editor picked and I made sure of before, you know, publishing the book or whatever. But I thought that was a really good thing, especially since it kind of worried me. Like, am I going to have to know this character and be comfortable with it before I read the story, or am I going to feel really out of it?
Right.
And I didn't. So that was a good thing. I also thought that the editor did a good job of finding stories that were written using different techniques. You know, there were frame stories, and then there were monologues, and then there were stories that kind of flipped between present and past a little bit.
There were the noir and the cozy and the horror, which I still am like, what is that doing here?
But right. and then, you know, so I thought that helped to kind of liven it up and make things different, because in a book of short stories, there's a tendency for people to go, oh, okay, another short story written in the omniscient third person, you know. Mm-hmm. And this was, I thought this was good and gave some variety in the technique for those of us who are a little bit snobbish maybe and look for that in a book that's been edited and put together from various sources. So, all that said, I liked it. It's not one of those things where I'd go back and read these stories again.
No.
But I'm looking forward to checking out some of these authors, because, like I said, most of them I don't know very well. So, that's my take on it.
Yeah, I was glad I read it. And also I had fun because I got my friend Nancy to read it too. So Nancy should listen to this podcast, because I said,
as you told her to, and you mentioned her name.
Yes. but she, and so it was kind of fun because we read it together. And then I get to talk about it on here. And she had a slightly different take on some of the stories than I did, but she'd also read like more of the Sue Grafton, the Sarah Paretsky, like she read those so it was pretty cool. It was nice to be able to be like, oh, did you read this one yet? What'd you think of that?
Yeah. That was good.
So, yeah, I definitely think that that's, yeah, I'm glad you read it. There are definitely some authors I'm going to check out.
And some I just don't care about after reading this, too.
Still not convinced about you, Diane Mott Davidson. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you write really wonderful books, but they're wonderful books for people that aren't me.
Mm-hmm. I just want to read them to check out the recipes, because I like books with recipes in them.
Well, there you go.
And I think so. I may read one just to check it out. But anyways. So anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap this up, finally?
I think that's good.
All that being said, be sure to check out The House Next Door.
Our homework for the month.
It is available on Bard. It is also available, I believe, on Bookshare and Audible and Kindle for those who want it. And, of course, in paperback for all of our sighted friends from Amazon.
We'll be recording it around Halloween, so that will be really appropriate.
Absolutely. And to get in touch with us, you can email bookhoarders. I'm sorry. You can email bookhoarders at bhapodcast@gmail.com.
Like Christina did. You want to be as cool
you
as Christina.
You know you want to be her. You can find us on Twitter at bookhoarders on Twitter, all joined together. You can also find our website, which I need to update at some point soon with the books we've read this year, at bhapodcast.com.
And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Bardsong. And you can follow Aaron at Aaron Edgar.
And you can also check out my show beginning October 11th on The Phoenix. I will be back.
Woo!
With The Melting Pot. So my site isn't up there yet, but you can find it on the-phoenix.net some point soon.
Yay!
Sunday nights, it will start at 7 p.m. It will be a two-hour show instead of a three-hour show, and it will also be simultaneously broadcast on Treehouse Radio. So you can hear it at either one of those places at that time, beginning October 11th. And with that, we will simply say...
Bye-bye!
Bye!
To contact the book hoarders... send email to bhapodcast@gmail.com. Follow Book Hoarders on Twitter. Call us at 520-81-BOOKS, 520-812-6657. And visit the website at bhapodcast.com.